What's up, everybody? Another episode of Hell's Kitchen. Matter of fact, we got two episodes to cover, and we have an extra special guest. Stay tuned. Let's get it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Wait, I got to do it like...
Yeah, you got to get the finger wags out.
Since Robin's not here, you know, I'll get it. I just can't... It's just so... I can't do it like you, though.
I'm doing a weekend workshop, so... Yes, end of January. So come, I'll teach you how to do the finger wags.
I'm going to have to be there to learn, because I really can't do it as well as you can.
Oh, gosh. Frank? Yeah, I trained for years.
I understand. Yes. I understand. It's a learned experience.
Exactly.
I get it. Oh, man. You know what it is, everybody. We are back from our hiatus of Hell's Kitchen with two episodes to cover. Super excited. I'm your host, Lim Gonzalez, as always. And you can find me at The Poet Saint. It's guys' night, ladies and... Well, not quite. Because we got a super extra special guest, which we'll introduce in a moment. But on the panel is me and my main man, Frank Moran. What's up, brother?
My goodness, I got promoted over the course of the year to the main man status. I am super excited. Hi, folks. You can follow me on Twitter at Happy Go Jackie.
Yes. Speaking of guests, I've been wanting to have her on for quite some time. You know, she's been your favorite.
Yeah, thank you for acknowledging that.
And Robin's favorite. Jumping on the bandwagan,
Lem Gonzalez.
I'm just saying... I think she's amazing. You guys have been liking her since day one. It took me a while to warm up to her, but I am now warm and ready for her to be on the show.
That's what a great intro. She's excited, I can tell.
Ladies and gentlemen, via Skype, all the way from Michigan, we have none other than Ryan, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only.
Yes!
Hello.
What's up? How are you doing, young lady?
Oh, you know, I'm doing all right. It's cold up here.
Yeah, I guess so. What's the temperature looking like right now?
It's about 16 degrees.
She said 16? That's like an age.
Yes.
That's a teenager. Like 16?
Yep.
I can't even imagine. I can't even, you know, we're in, of course, Los Angeles, so it doesn't really get that way.
You said you're warming up, so maybe you could be warm enough to be here. I don't know. I'll find out.
Hopefully. But, I see why you're indoors, because we did this outside.
Yeah. Get into Stoddard's, Ryan, and talk to us.
I don't think my computer will work out there.
So great. Like we would do it outside,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's been a while, ladies and gentlemen. I'm out of practice. We've been on vacation, but we're back. Ryan, again, thank you so much for being on the show. Super excited to talk to you. You've been all over these last two episodes, so there's a lot to talk. I mean, you've been all over this season. I just want to start with this. We get some amazing chefs on this show, and it appears that with the male chefs in general, that you've been somewhat of a favorite for them. Mainly, there was one gentleman in particular who really was excited when you joined his team. Mr. Devin. He was very vocal about that. Obviously, we know as reality shows, a lot of editing and stuff is done for dramatic purposes and stuff like that. Did you feel like any kind of way against these guys? Like, were they just enamored by you? I don't think so.
I mean, a lot of the stuff that you see is like, as you know, in the confessionals, and right. A lot of it wasn't said to our faces. So I don't even think about that when I'm in the kitchen. It has nothing to do with what I look like how I cook. So I just thought he wanted me on his team because I'm a good cook.
Okay.
Well, speaking of that, I mean, you had the opportunity when it comes around every season where the winning team, who's got a distinct advantage over the losing team, Chef Ramsay will ask one of them to pick one of their people to go over to the opposing team. Mm. And you jumped at that. We saw some of the conversations going on for you making that decision. Was there anything that we missed out? Was it a long deliberation?
It wasn't long. I mean, you see Heidi kind of hugging me on the way back into our dorms, and I already said, you know, I know that it has to be me. I know that I'm going to do it. I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it. And, you know, they kind of played that part, like that I didn't want to do it. Nobody wanted to go over to that kitchen, obviously, but You know, Chef Ramsay had said a couple times that he wanted to hear my voice. He wanted to see me be a leader. Mm-hmm. So I didn't see any other choice.
Word. Yep. So it was obviously a good decision in the sense of stepping up to the plate, so to speak. For you, did you take, so you were you taking Chef Ramsay's, what he was given to heart to try to step up and be a leader over on the blue team?
Yeah, I definitely, you know, listened to what he said, and, you know, he's there to teach us. And I was like, I need to find my voice. I have it. It's here. It's a little weird, but it's there. I'm sorry. People get used to it after a while. But I also felt a little bit, you know, stagnant on my red team. I had already made my impact over there. I already won, you know, almost every challenge, and it still wasn't helping them do anything cool. And then, you know, I finally volunteered to go over to the blue team, and they get to go to the Playboy Mansion.
That sucked. That sucked.
I was not happy
at all.
I found some underwear on the LA River, so it's like the same thing, I guess.
Oh,
yeah. So speaking of that, I always wonder, like, the punishments, because, I mean, they're never fun, but how long do they really take on average?
That was all day long.
And
they didn't, I didn't mind that, actually, because it's helping the community. And then later we cooked 1,000 pounds of macaroni and cheese for the homeless.
Oh, wow.
And I'm cool with that. I want to do that. That's something I do anyways, but I'm over the gross milkshakes and the spiders.
All of that kind of stuff.
That's not helping anyone.
Well, let's dive into these episodes here that we watched, the last two. So, after this, the first one starts, there's 8 chefs left at this point. And so we see that Shayna and Matt were eliminated. We really enjoyed, Shayna's been on the show a couple of times. Really enjoyed having her. I was sad to see her go.
Yeah, Shayna's a great girl. Yeah. I liked her a lot. I didn't, you know, I liked working with her in the kitchen, but... No.
Yeah. But that's it.
People have to go.
She had to go. She had to go.
And happy to see Matt leave
right.
as well.
Yeah. I was not mad about Matt leaving whatsoever. I mean, he obviously, you know, definitely spoke his mind. He seemed to be more on the side erring to that he thought he was, you know, no one can kind of tell him what to do. What we saw on the show for him, was that any of that exaggerated, or that was kind of like what he was?
Not really exaggerated. That's what he was like. It goes back to kind of like that Gia personality. Like, I just kind of wanted to keep them around because they were entertaining for me, and we didn't have very much other entertainment, and I knew they weren't going to beat me. So it was kind of fun just to, but he was actually like really, really solid on the line. Like, he's a good line cook, but as far as being creative or a team player, no.
Just not at all. Not at all. Okay. So you all walk in, and there's some aerial acrobats going on.
Yes.
Which was really good. And Chef Ramsay basically says that he wants you all to be able to trust one another in the kitchen, because that's what the acrobats were doing, trusting one another in this type of thing. So it was a Taste It, You Make It challenge, which he's done before.
But I love the spin on this.
That I was going to say. He has a great spin on it, where one person has to make it, and the other person can only taste. And that's it. Working in pairs, and then you have to make basically his signature dishes. And so Andrew, my favorite person, he says he's good at everything. So he, this dude, this is the funny thing about him for me. He says all these things that he's good at, but then he rarely delivers in what he's saying he's doing. And this was a prime example where he's saying he's good, and so he decides he's going to do what he does on his end. He cooks, but then doesn't do a good job for their team. No. And it's just like, what are you doing, dude? Like, when are you going to learn that you're not as good as what you think?
Yeah. It's frustrating, especially when he talked Heather out of the protein. Like, great.
Right.
Way to go, Andrew.
Right.
Good job, bud.
Right.
Heather had it.
Yeah, exactly. With you, Ryan, you and Pauly did not pair.
As much as he wanted to.
Right, exactly.
He was like,
I'm begging to pair up with him.
Right. Well, he asked, and basically, like, we see this kind of sidebar conversation, and he's doing that because I guess he thinks you two are the strongest, and the way I took it and viewing it as watching it is like, do we want to pair together as the strongest, or do we want to use our strengths elsewhere? Is that what he was trying to get at when he was talking to you?
I think that he really just thought that we were the two strongest, but the reason, you know, Chef Ramsay even said anything was because he was whispering to me under his breath, you know, like, well, Chef Ramsay was still explaining the competition. Mm-hmm. I was like, dude, can we at least you know, hear what the rest of the challenge is. Like, chill. Right. Like, I probably don't want to be your partner regardless.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. So the pairs end up being Andrew and Heather. Andrew cooks on that team. Heather's the taster. We have Kimberly and Heidi. Heidi cooks. Kimberly's the taster on that one. Polly and Devin end up getting together. And then we have you are paired with Wendy. And you are the cook and Wendy is the taster. Now, she had this licking technique that I was trying to figure out. I'd not really seen, little unorthodox. No. I'm not a chef by any means, but I did not understand that method. I don't know if you've seen it, Frank.
Oh, guys, who doesn't? Who doesn't just lick the fruit all over to figure out what it tastes like? Right?
I just couldn't get it. Now, obviously it worked for you. Yeah. But did you think that was a little weird, or were you with that?
I really, really like Wendy. She was one of my favorite people from the show, but mm-hmm. I had to look away a little bit. I was like, just tell me what it is.
Just tell me.
Yeah, we had to figure out what the spice rub was too, right. Which was a bunch of different, you know, seasonings and spices. So right. That's kind of why she was doing that also. Mm-hmm. And then she was getting rid of all of the spice rub to figure out what protein it was.
Got it. Which, as I stated before, it worked in your favor because your team was the only team that got veal. And everybody else thought it was pork.
Did you feel confident when you see the other three teams have pork and you've got veal? Did you still feel as confident as you did going in?
Kind of. I mean, with Wendy, she has, I thought, the best palate, you know, mm-hmm. on the show out of all of us. Like, she could, you know, tell you where, like, the animal was raised and killed and what kind of weather was happening at that time. But when I realized it was just us out of all four of the teams, I was, you know, a little bit nervous, but mm-hmm. I had no other choice but to trust her.
Word. So it ended up being the three major ingredients was persimmon, Swiss chard, and veal. And your team took the win. Congratulations.
Nice. Yes.
For your team. Yay, blue team. It was interesting, too, because Heather, on her squad, she thought it was veal, but she was paired up with Mr. Andrew, which, of course, doesn't want to listen to anybody but himself. Do you think that if she was the one that was tasting, if she was the one that was on the other end of things, do you think that they might have done better with you than you? Or do you think it would have kind of came out the same?
I'm not sure. I think Andrew still would have pushed his weight around.
Uh-huh.
I didn't mean to make that joke. But. Yeah.
There you go.
I'm not touching it at all, Ryan. Okay, word. So the winner, your team, got to flip in the air in Santa Monica with the trapeze going on, which I've never done that. I've been, obviously, to the pier and seen it done, but I've never done it myself. And you guys, I mean, it looked like, I mean, of course, outside of Wendy, it looked like it was a lot of fun for you. What was that experience like?
It was a lot of fun. I've never been to California before this experience, and I've never been to Santa Monica, so I had a blast. I don't really have a fear of heights at all, and I was just at the point, you know, where I wanted to try everything out there, so I had a lot of fun.
Right. Word.
Yeah, because I feel like I know Wendy struggled with that a lot, and so much so that she didn't do it. But I always feel like on reality shows, like they're so protective of the contestants. Like you can do this and not feel like you're not going to die. That's not going to happen. To you. But I feel like for some people,
I was screaming at her to do it because I mean I have family members and friends. My mother is deathly afraid of heights, and you know, just you only live once, so just try it. Yeah, do absolutely. It. You're not going to die.
Absolutely. And on top of that, because your team, you and Wendy, were the ones that won for your team, you got Vitamix blenders, which I was told is like the upper echelon of blenders. It's like the BMW of blenders, right? They're like $3 trillion or something like that. Like,
I think four trillion. I think is what they usually run for. But yeah, no, it's amazing. I'm looking at it right now in my kitchen, and I'm like,
I have an idea. What is the difference between just your standard run of the mill blender and a Vitamix blender like that? What are we talking about?
You could put anything in there, and it will blend it.
There you go. You put like just a leg of ham in there, and just get it blended down.
Done.
We could find out, man.
Do a blending challenge.
Right. All right, Ryan, get over there by that blender, man. Right. All right.
Throw in a frozen.
I need my hands.
Hilarious. Okay, so let's get into dinner service. And so this particular one was actually a little different because you only had two tables of 12. And this was basically honoring contributors for Stand Up to Cancer, which is a nonprofit organization for that, raised like an amazing amount of money. Can't remember how many millions of dollars.
Yeah,
it was a lot of money that they raised.
360 million, I think.
Yeah, something. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it, which is amazing, and so each chef is responsible to lead one of the courses, and it was a four-course meal. And so we see with the red team, Kimberly is struggling to lead her course. Scabs go out okay. We have Heidi, who's kind of taking, talking regarding the salmon course. Wendy forgets the capers for the potatoes. She actually said they walked away on her. Which I don't know if that was an excuse, but I mean, it didn't bode well.
I think that Wendy was taking the high road in the kitchen. You never, if you're a professional, you never point fingers.
Okay.
And her potatoes were taken away from her before she said they were ready.
Right.
And she didn't want to say, you know, Paulie did that.
Right.
So she took the blame.
Now, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, Paulie's actions there on your side there. I mean, first when Devin's trying to do his course, and then he's just got all the burners like covered with salmon already.
Mm-hmm.
He's like,
salmon everywhere. All of it.
Yes.
Everywhere.
And he just felt like, I don't understand why he thought everybody was abandoning him. It's like, no, it's Devin's course first. Then we'll get to you.
Right.
Hold your horses.
One of the things you just mentioned about, you know, the whole having integrity in the kitchen and as a chef, you know, you don't point fingers. Now, this being a competition and being Hell's Kitchen competition, does that rule still apply? Or do you kind of want to save yourself because you want to advance in the competition?
I mean, I think that comes down to your own personal preference. Mm-hmm. If I, you know, if it was down to this point and I were Wendy, I might have said, I told them they weren't ready. But then that starts a whole another thing. You know, I think she was just trying to get it over with, like, and you know, just keep that kitchen going as opposed to starting an argument or pointing fingers, which that's what it would have led to. So I think that she, you know, should feel good about, you know, what she did.
Right.
And okay. I got to feel like Chef Ramsay has a really good eye on the situation. So regardless of whatever Wendy, whatever road she took on that, I feel like Chef Ramsay would know pretty much what the real deal was. And so he's got to, I'd imagine, respect the code of the kitchen where, you know, you don't cast blame on somebody else. You just take it on.
Yeah. And exactly. That makes all the sense. Your team unfortunately lost this go around. They actually lost a couple of times. Both these episodes, dinner service, unfortunately. But I wanted to talk about, you know, when you're deliberating and Paulie is like kind of walks out during the deliberation project. And then he walks back in and then he walks out again. And then he walks back in. But he goes in on you. He goes in on you kind of bad. And I'm thinking, you know, he's trying to save himself at this point. You know, obviously during deliberations, everybody points fingers. No one really wants to take the blame for themselves. And a lot of times when people do, they end up getting eliminated. You know, they fall short of that. Was that as intense as what we saw on TV?
Yeah, actually, they kind of cut out a lot where I was, you know, screaming at him, but I haven't done much of that. But if you're going to come at me with some nonsense, like I was over there helping him, I was helping everybody.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And,
we saw that.
You know, like Matt mentioned a while ago, you know, like there are cameras, like let's play that footage. I'm never going to say that, but it was interesting to be on that side of things. I mean, I think he was threatened. I think, you know, he's been put up, what, 5, 6, 7 times?
Right.
Who knows?
Like, a lot.
I think he knew. He was just trying to, you know, blame anyone else but himself.
Right. That makes sense. Hence, Hell's Kitchen. Yeah. It goes down. Cutthroat. So, Paulie and Wendy are the ones that end up getting nominated. And unfortunately, Wendy is eliminated over Paulie. Obviously, you have your feelings about Paulie. You like Wendy better. Wendy's your girl. How did you feel about it when Wendy was eliminated?
I was like, oh, shit. Now Paulie's going to turn right back around and still live with us. And now what is he going to do to me?
Okay.
Well, we see that. I mean, he basically just started riding your coattails when you did really well in the next challenge, the fusion challenge. He's like, oh, okay, you're buddy. Hey, we did it, right?
Come on, let's go.
Come on, Paulie.
Yeah, stop it. So let's get into, the second episode of these two episode, what we have. And so hula dancers now are in the kitchen and meet the chefs. And then we have Roy Yamaguchi, who is a fusion expert, is the guest judge on this particular one.
James Beard award-winning chef.
Yes, he's pretty badass. Like
his, his criticism, man, I really, he was holds barred.
But I mean, I think, you know, I mean, that's, I mean, I think that he has the pedigree. I mean, he can do that. You know, he's put it in, like you said, James Beard award winner, and they don't just give those up like to anybody. Paulie's not going to get that. It's just, you know, they give those to the elite.
Yeah. And so, even like when, with Chef Ramsay, anytime he's like, it's an honor to have you, when he just takes that moment, you feel like, all right, this is a guy, he's top tier.
Because, right.
Yeah, Chef Ramsay, he's always gracious to everybody, but when he acknowledges somebody else's greatness in the room, you feel like, let's step back for a second. Yeah.
Yeah, I was a little nervous. I was nervous that whole time.
Well, you got your favorite cuisine to cook with. I mean, Chinese food. I know how excited you were about that one.
That Japanese, man.
Yeah. Oh, it was great. Speaking of, there was a Wheel of Fusion, which was hilarious, in which they end up finding out what two cultures they have to fuse together on their dishes. And so we have Andrew, who chooses Indian to go with Mexican, which was very strange. And everybody
He can do anything.
He said, they're both in my wheelhouse. I'm set. I'm like, really? Okay.
I can do it all. So amazing. And you, of course, were not confident with the French Japanese. And I believe you said that because you're not confident with French or Japanese as they are by themselves.
Well, I can do French cuisine. That is basically culinary school in a nutshell. It's classic French cuisine. It's just not something I've done in the last 6 years of my life. You know, like it's not something I like to make. I like to make more exciting food, and Japanese is not something I've really worked with. I'd like to, but I was not prepared at this moment in time whatsoever.
Gotcha. Makes sense. So the pairs, we have Paulie and Andrew, and of course they had the Indian Mexican. And it was a failure.
The fusion of it seemed intriguing to me. Just the concept, I thought I'd be excited to try
something. Too many spices.
Yeah, I mean, just those are heavily spiced, you know, dishes.
But if you nail it, I bet it would be delicious.
Well, my thing is, I'm looking at Chef Ramsay, I'm looking at Chef Yamaguchi, and they are both like, so if they, as talented and as amazing they are, and they're like cringing, I'm like, come on, like that's, it's, you know, I feel like you're shooting yourself in the foot. Yeah, exactly. So they didn't get any points. We have you, Ryan, Heather, and Heidi doing French Japanese, and
yeah, they had to team up against me.
Exactly. But guess what? Ryan got that point. Oh, Ryan strikes again. Awesome. Then we have Kimberly and Devin with the French Chinese, which I thought was an interesting kind of mashup.
Yeah.
I would be interested. Probably the most intriguing for me would be French Japanese. If done right, I think that would be bomb. That would be bomb.
And for you, as nervous as you were, Ryan, I mean, all of a sudden, Chef Yamaguchi, I mean, he sings your praises on that dish. How did that feel?
It felt great. I mean, I used some spices on that lamb that I had never even, I tasted them, you know, but I was like, okay, this is okay. So for him to actually like it, I mean, it was a great dish and I know how to cook, but I was scrambling.
Obviously. I mean, it wasn't something you were comfortable with, obviously.
No, but to hear that he actually liked it, that was, I mean, I kind of keep my robot face on during those challenges.
Yeah, I see that. I see that. Very, very stoic. Very good. Very good. Yeah. Poker face. I don't want to play you in poker. All right. So we have Kimberly and Devin, French Chinese. Kim ends up taking that point. So, of course, it's tied with the blue and the red team.
That is her cuisine. That's her thing. She's a fusion chef.
She is. Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Because she is at the food truck.
The food truck restaurant.
Yes.
Yes. So the best dish ends up going to our lovely guest, Ryan. Again, holding it down. I'm telling you, this is episodes of Ryan. That's what it is. So as the winner, your team, which is only down to three now, get to spend $2,000 at the chef store and eat at a 2-star Michelin restaurant. First of all, I'm thinking as a chef, you go to this amazing store that has all these supplies. Is it like Disneyland for chefs? Like, what was that like?
It was really overwhelming. It was awesome. Yeah. I mean, I'm used to spending money on my family or, you know, thing like bills.
Right.
So I was like, I was forced. I don't know why I'm grateful for it, but I had to spend it on myself. And it was like, you know, all these things that I really want and need. So it was like, I was like,
How fast did you go through that $2,000?
It actually took a lot longer than I thought, just because like, I couldn't find more things to, like, make the money add up. I was like, but wait, that's got to be, you know, $2,000.
Right.
And they're like, I have, like, $600 more. I was like,
that's crazy. That's crazy that you have to, like.
We showed it a little bit backwards. We went to lunch, kind of close to lunch dinner prior to shopping.
Oh, prior. And okay.
We had to fight the buzz on when we went
shopping. Interesting. They made it seem like it was afterwards. Yes. Interesting. Yeah. Editing.
So what's the experience like going to a 2-Michelin-star restaurant?
That was, like, honestly one of the best meals of my entire life. It was absolutely wonderful. Every course, they did way more than 7 courses. It was like 10.
Wow.
And the service was great. I mean, even the bathroom, I was like, you guys, do you see the bathroom in this place?
The bathroom was amazing.
Now, like, door went opaque when you closed it, and I just kept opening it and closing it.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was, but the food was unreal, and the service was great. And, you mm-hmm. know, I was stuck with, you know, them.
Yeah. Them. Well, as a chef, when you get a chance like that to eat at a 2-Michelin-star restaurant, are you splitting your focus? Like, one, just enjoying the experience, but the other, like, the chef part of your brain, just kind of trying to break down how they make this dish and what kind of things you can use back home?
Oh, definitely. I mean, obviously, like I said, up here, we don't have many restaurants that do anything like that. That's a lot of, like, molecular gastronomy, which is, you know, food that I don't know how they make it. Mm-hmm. And it makes me kind of a little bit jealous. I'm like, okay, cool, show offs. But then I'm like, this is awesome. Right. I want to learn this someday.
Word. So you come back, and of course, you have another dinner service. And so you're down, your team is down to 3 people. So obviously being down to 3 people in the kitchen, you really can't hide at this point.
No. In case, like, from the start of the show, when you have, like, you know, you have the 8 to 10 people in the kitchen to now you're down to 3, just how much more challenging is it to work in that kitchen with that?
It is 3 people? A thousand more times challenging because, you know, when the appetizers go out, you have to hop over on meat. You have to hop over on fish. You have to hop over, like, there's not stations anymore. It's you have to all work together and, you know, get all that food out without someone on each single station.
Yes. I can imagine it just being, I mean, cause what do you start off with? 18 chefs. So you have 9 so in each kitchen and now you're down to 3. So, I mean, literally, you got to do, like you said, a lot. Speaking of Ryan, going back to you, you felt like, you had enough risotto on your plate and didn't care to use the rest of it. So you tossed it out. Was that, like, did you forget it was supposed to be 2 portions? What happened there?
I don't really know.
That's all a blur.
You know, I was like, cool, you liked it. And I just, you know, it was kind of just like a dumb moment where I was like, okay, I had enough. You know, it's not, that was it.
Right.
And I just, you know.
I can understand
it. Perfect down there in the garbage can.
Yeah, it was perfect down there at the bottom.
You just have those little dumb moments that pop up from the lifetime. You're like, I don't understand why I did it, but I did.
You did bounce back and made it seem like rather quickly. So it wasn't that much of a hiccup, you know, in regards to that. And then one of the diners found a hair in their salad, which was really bad. And that was actually on the red team. So your team was in the clear on that. But on the red side, they did that. Devin ends up putting raw veal, which wasn't good for him. And then Paulie basically blamed Devin for his dead bass, as he called it.
Yes.
Because he said it was on the window too long. And if you can help clarify, when you're working in a kitchen like that and you're on the pass, how long should the food be up on the pass before you get it out to the table?
Not very long at all, but he had the option, you know, to have it back on his station and, you know, on low maybe, like, but not, I mean, fish is really, it is delicate.
Yes.
But they could have been communicating a little bit better and said, you know, Devin could have said, you know, I need 4 minutes. Like, you can make that work.
Right.
You know, those are expensive cuts of meat and fish. Like, you could have worked together.
Worked it out. Because I'm just curious because we always see that, like, you know, Chef Ramsay's yelling because if stuff's at the pass and it all needs to go out together and it's not all together, he gets very upset. So I'm like, there's got to be
a
especially, small
you know, window. In a nicer restaurant like this or anywhere, there's no, you know, like, heat source. It's it's just the pass. It's the table. It's ready to go. Like, it's not like it's staying warm for the guests.
Got it. No, that makes perfect sense. And so Kimberly on the red team, she puts her fish up slow, slow, but it's good. You know, she takes her time. Polly ends up running out of bass. And so I never got where he got the other bass from.
He went over to the other team.
Did he get it from the red team?
Yeah, but he could have said, like, that's just common kitchen knowledge is 80. It's called 86, like 86, the bass, 86. I'm out of the bass. Like,
so he should have communicated that to Chef Ramsay,
to everybody,
just like I'm out. And he didn't say anything.
Even just to Marino or to Chef Ramsay. It's just, you know, that's it. And so no one else will order
it.
Well, even when Paulie went back, he says, oh, yeah, this bass is dead. And then he asked Chef Ramsay, like, do you want to just touch it to see if it's still going to go out? He's like, what?
You just told me.
I mean, I think it's dead, but maybe you'll think it's all right.
Right. Chef Ramsay, you might think it's better than what I think it is. Yeah, we've had several guests on the show, and Hell's Kitchen obviously is not like a typical kitchen or normal kitchen. It is very stressful. A lot of times you make mistakes that you may not make, you know, in your normal day-to-day life as a chef or whatever you do, or wherever you work, I should say. How did you find the experience just as a whole, especially leading up to this point? Because again, you talk about having this poker face and kind of looking like really nothing's bothering you. But how was it your experience there, you know, in dealing with all of this?
I mean, walking in, I had no idea what kind of competition I would be looking at. I, you know, there were a few chefs on my level, even a few chefs that I thought might be better than me. So I was, you know, just trying to feel it all out. And then when I realized, you know, where I was and the level of talent, I thought, you know, I could get through it. But this, you know, towards the end, this, you got to realize it's 4 weeks in with no contact with your family or friends or anyone other than these people that you're working with.
Right.
And that's like me, you know, I would never toss a perfectly good pan of risotto, and I did. So it's just, you know, the stress starts to get to you. I'm happy that it, you know, happens towards the end here for me. Other people couldn't handle it from the beginning, but
Right.
I went through culinary school pregnant with my daughter, and I got yelled at all the time.
Oh, wow.
And I was like 9 months pregnant. Wow. So this, I was like, okay.
At least I'm not pregnant. I can deal with it by myself.
Yeah, it doesn't faze me.
Because I was wondering with this, like, certainly meeting Chef Ramsay and doing this competition with him, it's got to be very intimidating at the outset. But this week, this far into the competition, is it more just the wear and tear of the competition that's making up for you right now, unless you get more comfortable with Chef Ramsay at this point, or is he still just as intimidating from the beginning?
This is right where, like, he starts to, like, really yell at me, but I respond to that, because then when, if you make something good, you know that he actually means that compliment. Like, he's not just kissing your ass about it. Like, he likes it. He has high standards, but I don't know. He's always scary.
He's always scary. It's Chef Ramsay, man. You see his face right there.
Yeah.
I would be scared as well. So, unfortunately, as we mentioned before, Ryan, your team loses again. Wah, wah, wah. So now it's only three of you.
That's the red team.
Right. So now it's you have to find one person to go up, because only three of you.
Yeah.
So one person has to go up. And, of course, you deliberate on that. It seems like, I mean, because of the way the deliberation works with this many people, Devin is kind of the odd man out at this point, which I don't disagree at all, because I think of the three of you, he was the worst. But it almost seemed like the way we saw, and, you know, some of the other people that we've said, the deliberations, aren't short. Like, some of them take long, you know, even hours that you're standing there. And it seemed like, even though Devin was the one nominated, all of you kind of had to, you know, give your piece as to why you needed to stay in Hell's Kitchen. Did you feel, when your Chef Ramsay was asking those things of you, did you feel at any point in jeopardy of going home between the other two?
Yeah, I mean, this particular deliberation wasn't that long. Like, we were basically like, yeah, Devin, we choose you. Like, as much as Paulie, you know, gets on my nerves, like, he's a better chef, in my opinion. He's more experienced. He's Polly. I don't know what else to say, but when we were up there, I mean, I did screw up, you know, in that dinner service, and I went over there to try and lead that kitchen, and they're still just, you know, going all over the place. So I did feel a little bit nervous.
You did. Okay.
Well, but Polly gets up there and he says, like, you know, I listen to, you know, I take criticism to heart. I listen to it. I, you know, I was like, what? I'm like, Devin's face is like, huh?
Or what are you talking about?
Yeah.
He needed to do whatever he could to stay. I mean, I think he was just grasping at straws.
Sure.
He was
on his last trip. I think he's been doing that for a while.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, he's been up, like you said, about 6 or 7 times.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at some point, you know, and it's the margin is very small right now. At any point, you know, you talk about, you know, because, of course, you had 2 back-to-back losses, didn't get to go to the Playboy Mansion. All of these kind of things, once you went over to the blue team, and obviously I understand the reason why you did, and we'll find out obviously as it goes, because you're still on the season. Congratulations. Still in the running. Did you regret, at some point, like, why didn't I just stay on the red team and kind of keep that going, as I was?
I mean, not really. But at that point, I knew that I was stronger than Devin. I knew that I was stronger than Paulie. They could have ganged up on me all they wanted, but I feel like Chef Ramsay would have, you know, seen through it, I hope. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I didn't really like working with your buddy Andrew, so I think that would have you know, brought some turmoil around that side.
Oh, if he stayed on the red team. Gotcha. Yeah. Well, that makes sense. So, no surprise to me. I don't know about you, but Devin is the one that goes home.
Very classy exit, though.
Yeah.
He's a very, very nice guy.
He seems like a nice guy. Yeah. He seems like an overall nice guy. He seems like a nice guy. But he does go home. He gets eliminated. And, you know, it is what it is. It's down to 6 at this point. And usually 6 is when we start talking about black jackets, which we saw in the previews.
It's
you see him kind of dangling there and going into. And then we also see that there is some reuniting with family.
Especially Andrew's girlfriend.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait for that episode.
Yeah, my fiance, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we should get Andrew on the show.
Yeah, like how awkward was that moment?
Actually, we do have Kimberly coming on.
He's been MIA from all of us. We all kind of keep in touch. Nobody knows where Andrew went.
Oh, really?
I don't know why.
Oh, bummer. Bummer.
So was that moment when the fiance walks in, that was the first time anybody realized, like, whoa, he's got somebody else on the outside?
Yeah, he didn't tell any of us. Heather didn't know. I mean, they kind of make her look bad, too, by, you know, saying, like, oh, you know, look at her, this homewrecker. He didn't tell any of us anything. That was all in the confessional.
Wow. That's crazy.
That's your boy, man. That's your boy.
Yeah, my bestie. Yeah, yeah. So before we cut out, Ryan, definitely let us know what you have going on out there in Michigan, 16 degrees, where you may be working at, if anybody wants to come check you out, eat some of your food, how they can find you, all that kind of stuff.
All right. I am up here in Traverse City, Michigan. I work with the Cook's House and also at Alliance. I can be found on Twitter at Kimmy_Churi. I'm doing actually a couple pop-ups. We're doing one in a couple weeks. It's me, Kim, Wendy, Coop, and Hassan from last season.
Oh, nice.
Wow, nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
And these are going to be
our second one. We have a lot of fun.
And this is going to be
I make them all come up here.
Oh, nice. So they're going to be up there in Michigan. Oh, we have to take a trip.
All right. There we go. Yeah. Go back to that cold.
Go back to
the cold.
I don't know about the cold. I mean, I can deal with it in spurts.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah.
Very true.
Very short spurts. Well, that's amazing. And again, as I stated before, congratulations on still being in the running for that position. I'm sure that you're going to continue doing what you do. I have no doubt in my mind that you're going to get a black jacket.
All just right. Saying. Way to ride those coattails. She's hopping on the bandwagon.
You know
nice.
What? I'm not on the... What did I say earlier?
All
right. It just took me a while
gotcha.
To, right. you know, get to... And you know what it was, Ryan, for me? It was because, like, you talked about, like, look at her. What? What are you going to say? What? No, let me say my piece. No, it was because, like you said, you just your face, and I guess, you know, that was your tactic to do what you do. But it was like I was waiting for her to kind of you know, be vocal and stuff like that, and you cooked your butt off and you did well, but you just weren't vocal, and so I was waiting for that, and so I see that. You know what? Whatever.
You know, I saw it from the beginning, so that's okay.
Maybe
whatever.
We should thank Polly for that after all.
Okay, let's do that. Let's blame Polly.
All right.
We're going to blame Polly. We'll blame Polly. Well, again.
Well, next week they bring, this actually Thursday, they bring our families out, so I finally get to see my daughter.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that. I'm really excited to see that.
And you got her to shill for the black jacket, which I like. There he's
like. Yeah. Amazing. Well, Ryan, again, thank you so much for being on our show. We appreciate it. it. Maybe we'll have you on again as the winner. Just saying, you know, just put it out there.
I'm calling it now.
Whatever. I'm just saying what I feel. So gotcha. Anyway.
Okay.
Whatever. You don't hate on me. So glad Robin's not here. You can't gang up on me. Ryan's taking the place.
I wish
of Robin.
He was there.
Yeah, I know, because then it'll be 3-on-1. That's all right. That's all right. It's cool. I can handle it. It's all good. But no, thank you so much, Ryan. We appreciate it. Best of luck to you and all your endeavors. And we'll see you next time.
Bye. Thank you. Good night, bye. Guys.
Night.
Bye.
There it is.
Look at that.
There it is.
My pick for winner, Hell's Kitchen, right there.
Yeah. I'm on the bandwagon. And really what it was is because my girl went home, who I thought, Shayna, who I thought was going to take it. I really had hopes on her. She got eliminated. So, and now that Ryan is vocal, as I was saying.
Mm-hmm. So you start scurrying. What you're saying, your girl went home, so you start scurrying around.
No, I'm for saying seat because, to sit in. honestly, she, well, I'm just saying. But, you know, it is what it is. But I'm excited for next episode and to see what they have. And we have Kimberly going to be on the show next week.
Oh, awesome.
Yes, yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, look out for that. It'd be interesting to see what her take is and get to scoop on how that really went down with your boy Andrew.
Yeah.
And get the skinny on that. But ladies and gentlemen, that's been our show. We want to thank you so much for joining us, tuning in. We want to thank you for everyone that was on the live chat. Again, I want to thank Ryan for joining us and being on our show and giving us the insight scoop. What we love to hear about Hell's Kitchen. I've been your host, Lim Gonzalez. You can find me everywhere at The Poet Saint. You can also check my website, which is stayonthemic.com. Frank Moran, where you at, brother?
You can follow me on Twitter, @HappyGoJackie, if you want to tweet me about how awesome I was for picking Ryan right out of the gate. You know, feel free to do that. You know, throw a little shade Lem's way. That's always welcome. So.
Yeah, give me all the shade. I'll take it all. Yeah. I'm used to it. I'm always on the man out. I mean, you know, whatever. Anyway, until next week, we'll see y'all.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.